Welcome to My Life as a Landlord, where we educate curious U.S. and Canadian landlords, answer rental questions, and clear up confusions about all things housing. If you're looking for some landlord education, interesting guests, and awkward conversations, you've come to the right show. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Salisbury. This is My Life as a Landlord. Welcome to it. Well, hello there. Thanks for joining me today. I am Dr. Jen, and I'm so excited for you educating yourself by listening to My Life as a Landlord. So many of you have reached out to me today in confusion on what do I think is going to happen, whether you're on the U.S. side or the Canadian side, what the next year looks like, because we've got an election coming up, we've got interest rates doing crazy things. And so I reached out to a wonderful Canadian lender, Christine Sweeter, in Greater Vancouver, British Columbia, to join us today. Welcome, Christine.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
And you've never been on a podcast before.
No, this is a first, but there's a first for everything, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. So we know you're a lender, licensed mortgage broker in Canada. Tell me about your company, because you started to tell me and there were multiple layers. So tell me how that goes.
Yeah. So I am the founder of Triunity Mortgage Group, which is a mortgage brokerage. And we are under the Dominion Lending Center's franchise. So they back us, and you know, it's the number one mortgage company in Canada. So we're very proud to be a part of that. And my mortgage brokerage is just based in BC, and you know, we have brokers underneath us.
Is there anywhere in Canada that you don't lend?
Yes, actually. We do lend everywhere with the exception of Quebec, because they just have different rules there, but we have really good referral partners.
Nice. So even if somebody needs to get some lending in Quebec, you can still help them out. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, you bet.
So you've been licensed since 2008. That's an interesting
I've actually
year.
Been doing mortgages. So I've been entrenched in the industry since 2008. I started out with the blend with the banks. So okay. I worked in the banks. I've done almost every position within a bank. And I just got to a point in my career where the banks were not servicing clients the way that I needed them to. So I actually proactively went back to university at my old age and got my mortgage broker license. So now I have the ability to use any lender in Canada instead of just being tied to one bank. So it makes a huge difference with options for clients. Much better service.
That's amazing. Well, you're probably the best person to ask this question to about the changing interest rates and helping people to find financing. Are you seeing that the interest rates are impacting how people are finding lending?
Oh, we all are. I mean, you know, with the rates going up, it means that you get a higher payment. And with higher payments becomes less affordable. Mm-hmm. So we also have the stress test. So I'm not sure if the viewers are familiar with the stress test here in Canada, but the government implemented the stress test rule back when, because rates were at an all-time low, almost free to be exact. And so they implemented a stress test to account for the interest rates coming back up, because they knew these low rates are not going to be around forever. So the stress test is actually a balloon payment that is added to your mortgage when you're qualifying. So with the higher interest rates comes the higher stress test, because the stress test is a 2% increase to the interest rate we use when we qualify you for your mortgage. So if we can get you 5% today, we're qualifying that mortgage at 7%. So it is definitely having an impact, not only with the higher rates, but with the guidelines that have just not changed. So yes, it has been challenging for sure.
Well, I know in the US, they don't have, most lenders don't advertise the stress testing, which I know stress testing is sort of the label across lending in Canada, from what I understand. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, I find with first-time homebuyers or people who are new in the industry, they don't necessarily know what it is, but they are familiar that there are, you know, there's a balloon payment involved. So sure. We help break that down so they have a better understanding of how it works.
Christine, I'm so happy to talk to you today. This is great. And you and I've had some great conversations. You told me one time about a couple that was trying to purchase a home in Vancouver, Lower Mainland, in BC, and you were able to help them get their mortgage length down to a very, very low amount of years. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, quite interesting. A lot of Canadians don't actually understand how they can utilize their mortgage terms to get ahead. And so, for example, that particular client was approved with a 25-year amortization, meaning their mortgage wasn't going to be paid off for 25 years. But the lender that we placed them with, and actually all of the lenders in Canada, have what you call prepayment privileges. And those are payments that you can make above and beyond your contractual obligation to help pay down your mortgage faster. And so for every dollar that you prepay, that goes strictly on your principal balance. So you don't have to pay interest. And then it reduces your mortgage balance so that going forward, you're not charged interest on it. So the ability, you can prepay in many different ways. You can do a lump sum. So for example, if it's 15% of your original mortgage amount, you can pay above and beyond your payments that 15% every calendar year. You can also increase your principal and interest payments. With some lenders, it's double. And so given those two options, you can take a 25-year amortization to qualify, but utilize your prepayment so that you're paid off in like 5-6 years. And that is how, well, that is what makes me love my job. I absolutely love it when we can help people become mortgage-free. And that is ultimately the goal. Then you can increase your cash flow, enjoy the last years of, you know, life before retirement. You know, honestly, that is the goal that we strive for. So we definitely educate people on how they can get ahead. So with that client, I believe he was just shy of 6 years and he'll be mortgage free before he's 40.
Wow.
I know, we're going to celebrate.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is absolutely amazing. Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot more people that are coming into landlording, I'm finding, because of the wealth transfer that's going on. You know, we have people passing away and they're inheriting homes, but they're also seeking out more real estate investments. And they're in those investments, they're going to be looking for lending, right? And so even with my listeners, both in the US and Canada, I know there are changes about how Canadian banks are looking at investment income, especially when you're trying to make the initial purchase. You mentioned a few of the lenders are starting to accept 100% of the rental income, which to me is inherent, but is that not normal?
It actually isn't normal. You would think that it is, but the lenders are so conservative in Canada. So our lending practices say, the lenders say, okay, so if you're going to get X amount as market rents on the property, what if it's not tenanted for 3 months? What if the roof needs to be repaired? Mm. So there's all of these unforeseen circumstances that the lenders really want to protect themselves with. And so typically and historically, the lenders will use about 50% of the market rent, and they will add that to the income on the application to help debt service for the mortgage. However, they've realized now they've opened up their rental programs where you can use an offset instead of an add back. So some of them will allow 65% offset, which just gives you a higher amount of the income you can use on the application, mm-hmm. which definitely helps with affordability. Some like TD Bank, our Green Bank in Canada, they are allowing 100% of the market rent to be added. And then they just subtract the costs, your property taxes, you know, the normal costs for the property. And so now we're able to utilize the maximum amount for rental income. And it's definitely helping with property investors qualifying for those rental mortgages.
Can be a little bit intimidating. Well, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there is a lot of moving parts, but it also is exciting because if you're using a mortgage broker and you have access to over 90 lenders in Canada, your mortgage broker will be able to place your mortgage where it best fits and makes sense for your current needs and also for your long-term needs.
Amazing. Well, I know you and I have talked about different ways that people who maybe have inherited a bit of money, or maybe they have some money saved up, that they want to invest in properties. They don't necessarily just want to throw it into a savings account. They want to invest in properties without being a landlord. How does that work in your world? Investors can be the lender in a real estate transaction, but
it's crazy to think, but yes, you can. You know, if you've got some money, or, you know, you have some, you want to look at different ways of diversifying your real estate portfolio, you can become the lender. You know, you go into a bank and you try to qualify for a mortgage. But in particular, in Vancouver, if you're purchasing a $5 million home, even as a doctor, it is tough to qualify given the guidelines of the affordability. So with the stress test, you know, it's adding like an extra $3,500 a month that you will never be paying. And so that really, you know, cuts into affordability. But people still need to close on real estate. They're thinking, I can make these payments, no problem. So there's a lot of times where we go to the equity side and we do equity lending. So lending that is purely based on equity. So I actually do this with a lot of my developers where they're doing the land acquisition, and it's going to take like, I mean, with today's approvals, it's going to take a year and a half for them to start digging. So for that year and a half, they need financing to purchase the land. Mm-hmm. And the banks are just no thank you to land loans. So these developers are actually going to private lenders and they are asking to give them a mortgage based on the equity. So yes, you can make money as a private lender and securing mortgages on properties that are, you know, that they have a large down payment for. So you're well secured. Your annual yields on a private mortgage, currently I'd say the average is about 13 to 15% annual yield. So if you have, you know, $5 million in a diversified portfolio and say mutual funds, you know, look at what your annual yields are giving you, because this is not as risky as say a mutual fund, and you can be fully secured. Your mortgage is low compared to the value of the home. And it is a way to make money. And then you get to be the lender. So you get to pick the terms. You also get consideration fees. So a lot of times clients will pay a 1% lending fee to the lender for considering their application. And they're short-term investments. These are not long-term investments. So you think, oh goodness, I don't want to do a mortgage for 25 years. That's not how it works. The private mortgages are meant to be band-aid mortgages, short-term investments. So we do one-year terms and interest-only payments just to help, say, that developer get to the digging portion where the banks roll out the red carpet for the financing. And so it is an interesting way for you to make money. You just got to look at it a little bit differently.
A little bit creative. Well, speaking of developers, Mike and I, you know, Mike and I provide housing, both BC, in Canada and in the US as well. And we have a parcel here in BC, that isn't too far away from being shovel ready, but we stopped moving towards construction because of the costs, because of the financing costs, all the permitting bureaucracy, all of that stuff to get us to the point where we can actually start to build. And so we have an unknown time frame, which really is prohibitive on a construction loan. With Canada and BC and arguably the globe pushing for more housing, what's the incentive for developers like me to build new things?
Well, change would be a good incentive. Let's start there. There are some changes coming down the pipe. We have the election coming up. So of course you hear Trudeau and Pierre are, you know, saying what they plan to do. And we're hearing a little bit of how that's going to be played out. But, you know, speaking today, there's, you know, there's a lot of investors that are either selling off their projects or they are holding off on doing anything like yourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the federal and the BC government are working on planning to build more homes. They are also planning to do that by removing some of the barriers, which is some things that you just spoke about, the uncertainty with timeframes, you know, the lengthy application processes. And you think about those developers that are financing those lands at private lending rates of 10 to 13% interest, you know, that can a 3 to 6 month delay with the city is really going to impact their bottom line. So that's where I see a lot of investors or developers are kind of wanting change dramatically. Mm-hmm. So they are the federal government, and the BC government, they have plans to build homes faster. They are removing barriers such as speeding up the application process. So it's like a one-stop application instead of multiple applications for approvals, permitting, you know, rezoning. So it'll be all in one nice little package and it'll be sent there. And then hopefully with the election, there's some changes coming up for some incentives for the municipalities to speed up the process. You know, I know Pierre has talked about taking away funding. So there's an incentive. Your municipality doesn't want to not get accepted for funding because they have not processed applications quick enough. So there's going to be a little accountability, it sounds like. But again, it's in the talks and it's not implemented yet. BC has made some changes though. Starting July 1st, developers can now build 3 to 6 units on a single family zoned lot. And that is huge. You know, you talk about the developers and they're like, well, okay, so we're uncertain to how, when we can be done. So the cost is uncertain, everything's unknown there. But then once it's done, how can we sell our product if the buyers are not qualifying?
Right.
So doing these multi-unit rental income mortgage helpers, whatever you want to call it, it's definitely going to help them get rid of their product. So speeding up the process, you know, helping them sell their products by expanding what they're allowed to do with the land, you know, that is huge. The new housing legislation is promising 130,000 new homes over the next 10 years in BC. So
that's amazing.
All, you know, I guess exciting and to be continued.
Well, yes. I wanted to, so Bill 44, Residential Builders, passed last November. I just want to read your notes on this because I find this fascinating and it directly applies to me and Mike. So let me just read this. The bill increases density across most BC municipalities. Starting July 1, 2024, developers will be able to start building a minimum of 3 and up to 6 units, which have to be near transit. I'm sure there's more details on that. Lots currently zoned for single family homes and duplexes in municipalities above 5,000 people, home to 90% of provincial population. Our rentals are in Paul River, British Columbia, which is above 5,000 people population. We will definitely have to look into that.
Exactly. Right. And not only that, they have wiped away illegal suites and they've implemented a program like a test pilot to help homeowners actually build those suites.
Amazing.
So there are some things coming up to help with affordability for sure.
Well, I think what you had mentioned before about developers going through this entire build, and it's not just the developer side. It's now, let's say we've got a family who has been in pre-sales for one of these units that the developer has been trying to build. Then you get all the way up to the end and then the family can't close because of the stress testing, because of all of these things. It's like problem after problem after problem, but it sounds like we're starting to untangle this a bit. Sounds like it.
Yeah. I mean, I said they should have been starting this in the pandemic. You know, we would have been 2 years ahead of where we are today regarding cracking down on the housing problems that we have.
Well, and you, that's interesting that you and I had talked a little bit more about what the government can do to help the housing crisis in Canada, other than, you know, make the amortization on these loans longer, which puts their payments lower. You'd mentioned too about speeding up the process with municipalities on the applications, the permitting, all of that.
Yeah.
And what about reducing the stress test? What about taking that away?
Right. I mean, back in 2008, before the real estate crash, we call it here in Canada and the US, they had 40-year amortizations for a first-time home buyer.
Wow.
Right. So across, like, didn't matter what you were applying for, whether you had a 20% down payment or less than 20% down payment, you were able to do it over 40 years. I mean, let's be honest, nobody lives in their property for 40 years.
Right.
And even almost 20 years of in this business, even 5 years, a lot of Canadians will upgrade or move out of the province, you know, within 5 years, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And so they could implement those longer amortizations and reduce the stress test, which is definitely going to help with people's affordability. So those are just a few things that they have done before that would just be so easy for them to implement now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're still waiting.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up. We're in early 2024. What do you think the next 24 months is going to look like in Canada or BC housing, even where you sit? Because there's a lot of stuff happening here in the next year and a bit.
Yes. Yeah, well, I definitely think that renewals are our biggest problem, because these are people, okay, we have over, I think it's over 2.2 million mortgages renewing in Canada over the next 2 years. And all of those mortgages had, I don't know, maybe definitely under 2.5% rate on their existing mortgage. And then being in the business as long as I have, how many Canadians go out in their mortgage terms and get a new vehicle? They rack up, you know, an unsecured personal line of credit. And now that prime rate has increased so much, they are paying way more interest on their unsecured debt, especially credit cards, lines of credits. So with these mortgages coming up for renewal, the payments are increasing a minimum of 25%. And so for a family that is literally living paycheck to paycheck, this is going to be life-changing for them. Wow. So it may have to force some Canadians to maybe sell and downsize or actually get out of the housing market altogether. So that is a big problem that we're actually seeing today. And then we try to refinance them. You know, it's like, wrap up, pay out all that debt that you obtained over the last 5 years. Let's include it into your mortgage so you only have the one payment. And then they're having to stress test at 7% instead of 5% that they did initially. So, you know, it'll be a very interesting couple of years, probably the most interesting in my career.
No kidding. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Well, but the rates are coming down. The rates are coming down, guys. Yes.
Any thoughts on the election coming up in Canada?
Well, I have my opinions, but I'm excited. I'm excited for the election. I'm excited to dig into the, not just the what, but the how. And I am excited for change. I think most Canadians are over the last 8 years, but I'm looking forward to change. Just my opinion. Yes.
Well, it's interesting because as we're talking more and more about the cross-border items, there's elections in both Canada and the US. And so, and it also looks like the interest rates are all coming down on both sides of the border. So this is going to be a very interesting
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, I wanted to say too that inventory is such a problem in Canada. When it comes to real estate, we just do not have enough product on the market. And so, you know, if these renewals list their homes, we could be running into more inventory, and it might be an opportunity to see the house prices come down even more. So there's a little bit of opportunities, depend on if you're the investor or, you know, the first time home buyer type of thing. Yeah.
Christine, you know, as all of my podcasts, we go through this intellectual discussion, or I'll talk about a topic, and everything ends in a call to action. And when you and I were discussing what would be the call to action to my listeners of this podcast, you think?
My goodness, prepare. Reach out. Know where you stand financially today. Know what you could do to help your finances going forward. If you really want to tackle down on prepaying that mortgage, maybe you want to try to free up cash flow and then utilize that extra cash flow to go onto your mortgage debt and pay it off quicker. Just there's always an opportunity to reach out to your mortgage broker, your lender, although I hope you're working with a mortgage broker for the options. And you definitely want to prepare about 5 months before a mortgage renewal, a mortgage purchase, a refinance, because we can hold rates in Canada for 120 days.
Whoa.
So while you make up your mind, you can at least be protected if rates are going up. If rates go down, it doesn't matter. We can get the lower rate. But just prepare 5 months prior to that way, you know what your options are. You can really sit down, you know, get some financial breakdowns and understand so you can make a good financial decision for yourself moving forward. So don't wait. You know, if you're struggling, reach out. It is so important. There's so many different options with lending. Don't think that if my bank said no, my mortgage broker is not going to be able to, because that's really where we shine. There is never a no in our business. It may be a small plan and then a yes, but just reach out and start the process.
Fantastic. What have we not talked about today? Did we leave anything off?
The weather. No, I think that, you know, that's a good start anyways. I mean, they can always reach out if they have any more further questions. Reach out to your mortgage broker, you know, just get informed, I think is the best way to leave.
Perfect. Well, if a listener is interested in contacting you and your expertise, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can just go to our website, which is triunity.ca, and our full contact information is up there. I don't know if you put our contact information up. Yes, but we work every day of the week. Finances are very important, so we're always readily available. I myself work until 10 p.m. at night, so we really can't accommodate anybody's time frame. And yes, I mean, if it's urgent, we will definitely drop what we're doing to assist with information.
Beautiful. So triunity.ca. I will have contact information on the website so that the listeners can reach out. And of course, if anybody missed any of that, they can always email me, learn@mylifeasalandlord.com. Thank you once again to my wonderful guest, Christine Sweeter.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Pleasure having you today.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
Yeah. See, I told you that was painless.
That was pretty good. Pretty easy. I actually love hanging out with you. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. It's so much fun. Yes. You get me excited about everything. Yes.
I love it. Well, I tell you what, I think that we should have you back on in later part of the year and see how things are shaping up, especially when some of this change happens.
Yes.
And see how some of this new legislation, we can wait for the elections if you want, but I think that it would be really fun to do a follow-up and see how things are shaping up, especially with now some of the 2023 reports have come out with CMHC. I would love to have you back on the show.
I would love that as well. Anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. And listeners, thanks so much for listening to us today. Let me know your comments and questions by emailing me, learn@mylifeasalandlord.com. As you know, comments and questions create the next podcasts and the resources for you. And if you know of a really great guest like Christine that I should have on the show, there is a podcast guest application on the website as well. I'm always looking for dynamic guests to bring you value. Don't forget the resources on the website, including ways to invest in your continuing landlord education. Check out mylifeasalandlord.com for more details. Join me next week for episode 64 with guest Jamie Peacock, educating us all about the U.S. insurance roller coaster going on. I'll see you there. Thanks for joining us this week. For all the show notes and resources, check out mylifeasalandlord.com. Want to invest further in your landlord education? We've got a toolbox for you, wherever you are in your journey. Make sure you follow the podcast on the platform you're listening on. Thank you again for joining me, Dr. Jennifer Salisbury, in this episode of My Life as a Landlord. I'll see you next time.